the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight this evil.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We've discussed this subject before. The influx of Muslim immigrants to Germany. In fact, Germany expects to receive 800,000 to 1 million asylum seekers just this year. Most of them are going to be Muslims from Syria, from Iraq, from Afghanistan. And this has meant, well, it's meant a lot of political upheaval, but it's also meant a tremendous opportunity for Christian churches in Germany. And they've actually seen what we would call in biblical terms a harvest from this. What others are seeing as purely an economic threat or a cultural threat, the church is taking advantage of and saying this is an opportunity to proclaim the gospel to people who either have never heard it before or to welcome those who were secretly Christians before. Except a German Protestant church, a regional church, the largest of German's Protestant regional churches, has actually said no. This is not an opportunity for any kind of conversions. That would be, they say, a threat to social peace and contradicts the spirit of Jesus Christ. Joining us to talk about this statement and the German immigration into the Muslim immigration into Germany, Dr. Gottfried Martens, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Berlin, Germany. Dr. Martens, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yeah, I'm glad to be with you tonight again.
First of all, just we've talked with you about the immigration before, but just paint a picture for us of the opportunity that this immigration has meant for your congregation.
In our congregation, of course, we experience this immigration every day. During the last two Sundays, I think about 16 new people came who want to be baptized, so we hardly know how to cope with all this influx that's coming to us at the moment, and more people are coming to our church, and they want to get to know more about Jesus Christ.
So how do you respond to this statement coming from one of Germany's largest Protestant regional churches, the Evangelical Church in the Rhineland? And it says this: a strategic mission to Islam or meeting Muslims to convert them threatens social peace and contradicts the spirit and mandate of Jesus Christ and is therefore to be firmly rejected. How do you respond to that?
We were not at all surprised about that because that's not only a special statement of this one regional church, but that's more or less a general attitude in most of the Protestant regional churches in Germany. And so you have to know, for example, that the Protestant church in Rhineland was the first one who said that it is not allowed to do mission among Jews anymore, that Jews can be saved without Jesus Christ. And now they go just one step further and say something similar about the Muslims, which they said about the Jews before. The main thing is, of course, you can only do mission if you know what you want to tell them, what you want to tell other people. And if you do not know what you want to tell them, then it's, of course, difficult to do mission at all. And that's one basic problem in the Protestant church. If you do not know exactly who Jesus Christ is for you, whether it is actually important to tell people that he died on the cross for you, what should you tell those people? Then you can only say, well, we have to stabilize social peace together with the Muslims, and that's our task, and that's the task of the Muslims as well.
So it is either, it sounds like you're saying, Dr. Martens, it is either that they do not see a distinction between believers and unbelievers, or that they believe that social peace is more important than making disciples? Which do you think it is? Or is it a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of both. On the one hand, it's really so that the real matter of the question of salvation, whether you have to be saved at all and how you are saved, that's just called fundamentalist. So the main question that has to be answered is only how can you make people happy? That's more or less than the content of what they think is the task of the church, but it's not about law and gospel at all anymore. And on the other hand, of course, you have to know those Protestant regional churches. They still regard themselves as a major factor just of the society. So you still have the tradition of the state church. And so they think, well, we have everything to do what is just good for society. The question is, of course, whether it's actually good for society to be so naive over against the Islam.
Can you just explain to us briefly how it is that the Protestant churches in Germany, some of them, came to this point where the impetus of the beginning of Protestantism is, of course, the gospel and its clear and pure proclamation. How does it come to the point where the Protestant churches that are in Germany are unwilling to do that?
Yeah, that's a long development starting already in Enlightenment 200 years ago. And since that time, the basic questions of Christian faith, have become more and more unimportant in many regards. Of course, then we had certain times of a kind of awakening again, but during the last decades, more and more the focus shifted from the question of salvation just to the question of social welfare. And that's a widespread phenomenon among the Protestant regional churches in Germany.
Now, what is your congregation's response? How do they view this, the lay people in your congregation, when they hear these kind of pronouncements from these regional churches?
Of course, they shake their heads, especially the former Muslims cannot understand that at all. Here in Berlin, for example, the Protestant state church is one of the participants of a new building in which Muslims, Jews, and Christians worship together. And when they saw that, at first they thought this was a joke, but then I had to explain them that this is serious, and they simply cannot understand it at all.
Okay, how does that work? Can you describe to me how it is that Christians, Muslims, and Jews worship together?
Yeah, of course, well, there are three different rooms in which they do it, but the signal is clear, and that's exactly the same signal that you can see in the statement of the Protestant Church of Rhineland. We have to show to society that we are working together and that finally all religions are doing the same thing. And so that's the message that they want to give to society. Of course, on the background of religious conflicts that are solved by war and things like that in the past, and they want to show we do not do this at all. Of course, there have been problematic developments in former centuries, like the Crusades or things like that. Now they think they have to show everybody that we are doing it totally different. We just work together in society, but they do not see the problematic point that without Jesus there is no way to God.
You mentioned the recent converts from Islam to Christianity. Many of these people in our last conversation you mentioned were either secret Christians or deeply desired some kind of confirmation of a conversion, that they wanted to be Christians, but of course it is, where in many of the places where they have emigrated from, it is illegal to both evangelize and to publicly convert. I just wonder what they think. They come to a place and there are Christians there saying that they shouldn't be evangelized?
Yeah, of course, they are totally surprised, and they can hardly believe that this is a Christian church who says something like that. And for me, it's a little bit difficult because this is such a bad witness to Christianity that is given by such statements, and that's only one of many, that I don't want to totally disturb our people. Because when they come here, of course, they it is totally clear for them that the Bible is the Word of God, and that you have to trust this Word of God, and that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And when they hear that there are other Christians who deny that, that's really hard for them in their faith. So I don't want to mention that at all too much to them, because this could really be hard for their faith when they see that Christians are saying something like that at all.
Do you, as a confessional Lutheran pastor there in Germany, have allies among other evangelicals, at least on this particular point? Has there been a response from other Christians saying that this regional church's refusal to evangelize Muslims is wrong?
Yeah, but yeah, of course we can say things together on this level. On the other hand, this is such a normal thing for us, meanwhile, that we hear such statements. That it is not so sensational for us at all. That's the general discussion that we have here in Germany among the churches for decades now, and that's just one expression of many. And of course, it's interesting now to see that most of the state churches are totally unable to cope with this phenomenon of dealing with all these Muslims coming now. Well, so they are just focusing on doing social work with them, which is very good and very important, of course, but they aren't prepared at all to do any mission. And so that's, we, as a matter of fact, we do not need any allies or something like that. We know that they are a totally different church with totally different opinions. Of course, we say it very clearly when we are asked, but that's not something that we struggle about or something like that. We do our work. We do our mission work. We know that many Protestant churches don't like that, but we won't stop doing that.
So what happens in these churches if a Muslim does attend? The church of one of these regional churches, if they came in, say, perhaps even seeking baptism, or they came in wanting to hear the gospel, could they be told, no, it's fine, just stay a Muslim?
As in many other regards as well, it's also in this point, it always depends on the pastor of the single congregation. So that's what we always have in these Protestant churches. There are pastors who will certainly do baptismal courses and baptize them, and others will say, go away, it's not necessary. We have experienced that people wanted to come to a church and wanted to be baptized, and they were sent away. I've heard both. We have people who have been baptized in the Protestant churches, and we have others that were sent away.
So what is the danger for that Muslim there who walks in and says, I want to be a Christian, and he is told that that's not necessary, that he doesn't need to be baptized? What do you fear there, Dr. Martins?
Yeah, of course, those people are pretty shocked in many regards. Sometimes they had waited for such a long time to be baptized. Now they come here and are told, well, we suppose that you only come to us because you want to get asylum here, so that's not necessary. Of course, they are totally shocked. Some cases, well, then Jehovah's Witnesses came and wanted to tell them, well, you can come to us and then you'll be baptized. And so I really, when I heard that, I could get them at the very last moment and bring them to us, even though they lived in the area of the Rhineland Church. And so they went for many hundred kilometers to us in order to be baptized in our church.
So,
but that's already a couple of years ago.
So with about a minute here, when a Muslim family comes to you and they say, we want to know more about Jesus, we want to be baptized, is there any reason, possible reason, you could think of to refuse them?
I have no reason to refuse them that they come to our baptismal classes and listen to the gospel. And I experience again and again what a power this gospel has so that even if at the very beginning perhaps they had other motives, that in many cases, well, their heart is really changed by the gospel when they hear it. Of course, at the very end of the baptismal course, we have final examinations, and everybody is asked personally why he wants to be baptized and why he wants to become a Christian. And if they are not able to answer this question, of course, I cannot baptize them. And so I have to refuse baptisms when I see that those people perhaps want to be baptized for other reasons than for becoming a member of the body of Christ.
Dr. Gottfried Martens is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Berlin, Germany. Dr. Martens, thank you very much for being our guest.
It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Folks, we have 500 limited edition Here I Stand t-shirts available for new members of the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Join and order your Here I Stand shirt by November the 10th. That's Martin Luther's birthday. And you can find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org or click the picture of the limited edition long sleeve shirts. Call Craig, 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to have Pastor Brian Wolfmiller respond to this evangelical cliche. You've heard it before. There's no such thing as a perfect church. And we'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, talking with Pastor David Peterson about paying taxes to Caesar in Matthew chapter 22. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.